Well, our thoughts and prayers are with the families who have lost loved ones and have those who are injured in Texas and other places as well. It's hard to keep up with all the tragedies that we hear and read about. So we do want to pray for those who are in need of our prayers. But this being Mother's Day, we want to express our deepest gratitude for all the mothers who are in our audience, and of course the mothers here at Morgan Street, and all the mothers wherever they may be. They're very special to us, are they not? What would the world be like without godly mothers? I shudder to think. So our sermon this morning will not only be concerned with mothers, but with women as well. Now, for you men, we're not to disregard the sermon. Hopefully, we will all be helped to and move to a greater devotion to God, of course. So we'll want to begin our study of the kind of woman that is needed in the Lord's church today. And we'll begin that study in just a moment. Hello, I'm Bob Hawkins, and for the Morgan Street Church of Christ, we welcome you this morning to Preparing for Eternity. And we want to take this opportunity now to invite everyone to join in with us here at 540 East Morgan Street, that's here in Martinsville, as we come together to study the Word of God in our Bible classes, and it is very precious, for sure. And then as we assemble together in order to worship God, we strive to do so with the proper attitude, but also in accordance to the New Testament pattern. And thus that would be in spirit and in truth, John 4:24. Now, something else we want to mention is if you're interested in having a Bible study together, please let us know, and at your convenience, we'll set that up and look forward to it. Also, if you have Bible questions, comments, positive or negative, again, you can write to us. That's 540 East Morgan Street, Martinsville, Indiana, 46151 is the zip code. Our office phone number, area code 765-342-6027, and our website address www.morganstreetchurchofchrist.org. Now, our gospel meeting, Lord willing, will be next Lord's Day, but before the Lord's Day next week, Friday and Saturday night. So that will be May the 19th and the 20th, and then the 21st. So we're looking forward to having Brother Ben Vick, a wonderful gospel preacher from the Shelbyville Road Church of Christ in Indianapolis, to be our speaker for the meeting. You'll enjoy hearing Brother Ben shuck the corn and put it out where the calves can get it. And we look forward to having a potluck lunch Sunday after the morning services, 9:30 and 10:30, and then a 1 o'clock service to close out the meeting. But Friday and Saturday night, the time would be 7 p.m., and the theme of the gospel meeting, messages from the Messianic prophet. That would be, of course, Isaiah. We look forward to that and hope to meet you here with the brethren that will be here from Indianapolis as well, and we hope to have many visitors. Let's get into our study concerning the kind of woman that is needed in the Lord's church today. Well, it would be good if, of course, we don't like to dwell on the negative, but it would be good to discuss the kind of woman that's not needed in the Lord's church today. We'll start with Lot's wife. This would be from Genesis chapter 19, verses 12 through 29. We won't take the time to read all that, but you should remember what happened with Lot, who was a nephew of Abraham. He went to this area as Abraham gave him the choice, and Lot chose Sodom and Gomorrah as the dwelling place for his family. Well, Lot's wife, we don't know what her name was, but we know that she lived in a wicked city, and as there were not even 10 righteous people there, God would have spared it had there been, but there was not. And so Lot and his family were to leave and get out of that city and go to the mountains, as the angels had told them. Verse 15, "Arise, take thy wife and thy two daughters which are here, lest thou be consumed in the iniquity of the city." And so Lot, he asked if he could go to the city that was near, that would be Zoar, and so he was permitted to do that. But you see in verse 26, "But his wife looked back from behind, and she became a pillar of salt." Well, they were told not to look back. "Get out of the city and look not behind thee." Verse 17, there it is. "Look not behind thee, neither stay thou in all the plain. Escape to the mountain, lest thou be consumed." And she disobeyed as what was ruling her heart was no doubt her fleshy desires. In Matthew 6:21, "Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." And she was also self-willed, not obeying the command. So remember what Jesus said in regards to the destruction of Jerusalem. This is Luke 17:32. "Remember Lot's wife." Well, that's, again, the negative example we want to not emulate for the kind of woman needed in the Lord's church today. But here's another one. Job 2:9. We all should remember this. "Then said his wife unto him, Dost thou still retain thy integrity? Curse God and die." How did Job answer his wife? Verse 10, "Thou speakest as one of the foolish women speaketh." So Satan was allowed to inflict Job with physical suffering, loss of his family, 10 children, possessions, his health in the second round, but Job sinned not. But you can see why Satan spared his wife, because he could utilize her. She had lost her faith and trust in God, and she tried to destroy her husband's faith. So she was a discouragement to her faithful husband. So keep that in mind. That's not the kind of woman needed in the Lord's church today, is it? Well, what about Jezebel? That's a name that stands out, is it not? We weren't told Job's wife's name either, but we sure know about Jezebel. She was famous for her wickedness, the evil influence that she had upon others, and Israel felt her evil for many years. Well, what about her husband, King Ahab? He was but a puppet in her hands. In 1 Kings 21:25, "But there was none like unto Ahab, which did sell himself to work wickedness in the sight of the Lord, whom Jezebel his wife stirred up." That's what she did, all right. 2 Kings 9:22, "And it came to pass, when Joram saw Jehu, that he said, Is it peace, Jehu? And he answered, What peace? So long as the whoredoms of thy mother Jezebel and her witchcrafts are so many." Her influence was on lots of people. And as a witch casting spells, of course, it was deception. She stood out with deception in these things. Now, Revelation 2:20 in the New Testament. Notice, notwithstanding, I have a few things against thee, the Lord said, because thou sufferest that woman Jezebel, which called herself a prophetess, to teach and seduce my servants to commit fornication and to eat things sacrificed unto idols. So her name is still associated with wickedness today. Murderess, idolater, dominating wife. That's what we know about Jezebel. And her name is still living on today. But let's go on. In the New Testament, again, we're looking at women that are not the kind of woman we need in the Church of Christ today. Sapphira, Acts 5, 7 through 10, and she was a member of the Church of Christ, her and her husband, Ananias. And here in Acts 5, 7 through 10, and it was about the space of 3 hours, after when his wife, not knowing what was done, came in, and Peter answered her and said, "Tell me whether you sold the land for so much." And she said, "Yea, for so much." Then Peter said unto her, "How is it that you have agreed together to tempt the Spirit of the Lord? Behold, the feet of them which have buried thy husband are at the door, and shall carry thee out." Then fell she down straightway at his feet, and yielded up the ghost. And the young men came in, found her dead, and carrying her forth, buried her by her husband. Now remember, the apostles were guided by the Holy Spirit, and it was not possible to get away with lying. They had agreed together to keep back some of the money that they had received for selling their land. But they lied and said that they had given all the price received for the land to the Lord's church. Well, they didn't have to give all the money, but they sure were wrong to lie about it, because they were seeking glory for themselves. You see, the Bible is very clear about the sin of lying. Revelation 21:8, "But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." That should get everyone's attention. Something else we must not covet as Christians, as members of the Lord's church, as Ananias and Sapphira were involved in that as well. 1 Corinthians 6, 9 through 10, "Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind." That's clearly homosexuality, is it not? "Nor thieves," now here it is, "nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revelers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God." So we're not to be involved in any of those things, of course. But the emphasis here is we're not to covet. We have seen now examples of the type of woman that is not needed in the Lord's church today. Lot's wife was self-willed. Job's wife was a discouragement to faithfulness. Jezebel, King Ahab's wife, influenced others to do evil. And Sapphira, Ananias' wife, coveted and was a liar, as well as her husband was as well. Now, let's get to the positive. The kind of woman that is needed in the Lord's church today. Well, we'll again go back to the Old Testament. Although they were not members of the church, they were still godly women. For example, Sarah obeyed Abraham. Genesis 12, 1 through 5, "Now the Lord had said unto Abram, Get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great. And thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee and curse him that curseth thee. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. So Abram departed as the Lord had spoken unto him. And Lot went with him, and Abram was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. And Abram took Sarai, his wife, and Lot, his brother's son, in other words, he was a nephew, and all their substance that they had gathered, and the souls that they had gotten in Haran, and they went forth to go into the land of Canaan. And into the land of Canaan they came. Sarah was ready to go with her husband wherever he went. She was a godly wife, as she loved and followed her husband. Many today would not do as Sarah did. Oh no, I'm not going to that place. I'm staying right where I'm at. How many would do that? Let's notice Sarah used, she's used as an example in the New Testament, in fact. 1 Peter 3:5-6. For after this manner in the old time, the holy women also who trusted in God adorned themselves, being in subjection unto their own husbands, even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, small L, not capital L by any means, whose daughters ye are, as long as ye do well and are not afraid with any amazement. Now, I'm not suggesting that you ladies call your husbands Lord. I do not expect my wife to do that, and so I don't advise you to do that either. But the point here is respect. That's how this was looked at in the biblical days, using that term. In Hebrews 11:11, through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Isaac was the promised child who came forth from her womb. And we know, of course, Isaac had Rebekah as his wife, and she had twins, Esau and Jacob. And Jacob's name was changed to Israel. And you see how the seed line of Christ was going forth. Well, let's notice another godly woman in the New Testament we'll go to now. And this would be Priscilla. She was a good teacher in the church, in the Lord's church. And so again, these are the kinds of women that are needed in the Lord's church today, certainly so. Acts 18:24-26. And a certain Jew named Apollos, born at Alexandria, an eloquent man and mighty in the scriptures, came to Ephesus. This man was instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in the spirit, he spake and taught diligently the things of the Lord, knowing only the baptism of John. Now that was a problem. And he began to speak boldly in the synagogue, whom when Aquila and Priscilla had heard, they took him unto them and expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly. Well, the point here is, after the church began, the baptism of John was no longer valid, but the Great Commission to be baptized in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit for the remission of sins. Now, John's baptism was for the remission of sins, but it was up until the time of Christ, as he brought in the new covenant, and the old law was nailed to the cross, and thus the Great Commission baptism became effective on the day the church began in Acts 2 there in Jerusalem on the day of Pentecost. And so we see Aquila and Priscilla took him aside and explained this, and no doubt he received it. Romans 16:3, greet Priscilla and Aquila, my helpers in Christ Jesus. 1 Corinthians 16:19, the churches of Asia salute you. Aquila and Priscilla salute you much in the Lord with the church that is in their house. That's where the saints met, in the household of Aquila and Priscilla, a godly couple. What a great example Priscilla is for women in the church today. She worked with her husband in the service of the Lord. Now that's, again, admirable, is it not? Aquila and Priscilla would have laid their necks down for Paul. They were willing to be sacrificed, in other words, losing their life if necessary in the service of the Lord. So keep that in mind as well. Now Eunice and Lois, we need to mention them as the kind of woman that is needed in the Lord's church today. They saw to it that their children and grandchildren knew God and His Word. Notice with me 2 Timothy 1:5. The Apostle Paul, writing by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit to the young evangelist Timothy, who was blessed with a godly mother, but also with a godly grandmother. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois, and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. Well, think of the good that Timothy was able to accomplish as a faithful gospel preacher. But where did it start first? With a godly mother and a godly grandmother. Let's not forget that. How much needed in the Lord's church today for those like Eunice and Lois. Yes, sir, they are needed. And we all should see that and appreciate those that are in that category. As we're studying the type of woman needed in the Lord's church today, we need to appreciate the good women who are of great faith. What good they accomplish, what encouragement they are able to give us. We're blessed to be around them, are we not? We need to appreciate godly wives, godly grandmothers, godly mothers, of course. Yes, sir. Now notice one more example here of the kind of woman that's needed in the Church of Christ today. And this woman was with an issue of blood. She went to the right source because of her great faith. In Luke 8:48, Jesus said unto her, "Daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace." And no doubt she did. Well, what could be done in the Lord's church today with faith like this woman's faith? That's what we're talking about, isn't it? So, as we've seen both types of women, the negative and the positive, we want to center in on the positive. But we need to mention those that were negative examples to show how harmful that can be in the Lord's church today. But we have seen great examples of godly women. Sarah loved and respected her husband. That's a great tribute, isn't it? Priscilla was a great teacher and worked with her husband for the Lord. That also is a great tribute. Eunice and Lois saw to it that their children and grandchildren knew God and His work. And that's a great tribute. Is it not? And the woman with the issue of blood had great faith, knowing to go to the Lord. Again, a great tribute to all these women. Now, as we've studied both kinds, which are opposite, one being harmful to the cause of Christ and the other being faithful in the service to God and glorifying His holy name, we want to be seeing the positive with our women, do we not? Certainly in the church, we need more of them. What kind of example am I to others? And this is for all of us, men and women, to answer for ourselves, Is God being glorified by my life? And what kind of influence do I have on my children, on my grandchildren, and great-grandchildren, and so forth? My brethren, my friends and neighbors outside the church as well. Are we reflecting the light of the only begotten Son of God? We should be, Matthew 5:16. So let your light shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. So as we close out our study this morning, again we want to appreciate all our mothers in the audience and in our congregations, and let them know we appreciate them. Not just on Mother's Day, but often we need to show appreciation. At this time, we're ready to assist anyone in obeying the gospel. Of course, we have to hear the truth. Our faith comes by hearing the Word of God, Romans 10:17. We are to believe that Jesus is the only begotten Son of God. Yes, in John 8:24. And then we're to repent, making a change of wills. We're ready to do God's will and go in a new direction of our life. In Acts 17:30, Romans 10:9-10, we come to the confession. That's unto salvation, though. We're not there yet, but we're to state that Jesus Christ is the only begotten Son of God. Having made the good confession, now we're ready to be immersed, that is, baptized. We're going under the water in order to symbolize a burial, as the old sinful person will remain behind. As we come up out of the watery grave of baptism to walk in newness of life, because the sins are washed away, how? By the blood of Christ. But where do we contact the blood of Christ? It's in that watery grave of baptism. And this is like Ananias told Paul, "Why tarest thou? Arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord," you see, submitting to the Lord's authority. And that was to be baptized for the what purpose? For the remission of sins. That's the same as forgiveness of sins. And of course, Romans 6, you can study 3 through 6, showing we're baptized into the death of Christ. And as he was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so also we should walk in the newness of life. And what happens when we come up out of that water? Out of the watery grave. Well, we're added to the body of Christ. We're not joining any church of man. We're going to be added to the Lord's church, to his body, the spiritual body, the one true body that we read about in Ephesians 4:4. And that's where we need to remain faithful, in the Lord's church, and appreciating all these godly women that are such a great encouragement to us. And so, if anyone would need further study, we're always glad to do that. And we sure appreciate you listening. As we always want to say, we thank you so much for listening today.